It's in Kuf Samach Hey. We did, that's page 122. We did the Sif Aleph. We're looking at the Mishaburas. We didn't finish Mishaburas and Sif Aleph yet. We're holding Mishaburas, Sif Katan Gimel. So that's the first, right at the top of the page, on page 122. Okay. So the scenario over here, which we're dealing with, is that a person went to the bathroom right before he started to eat his meal. And so the Shulchan Aruch says that you have two options of how to prepare yourself to deal with the washing from the bathroom and the washing for the meal. One option is to wash your hands, one netila, which is not a kosher netila, washing your hands in a way which is not kosher for netilas yadayim. Just clean your hands off, say Asher Yatzar, then wash your hands a kosher netila, and say Al netilas yadayim, and eat the meal. Then he says, if, however, you do not want to wash twice, you only want to wash once, since the Shulchan Aruch's description of washing always requires two pourings. So the first pouring is, if you're using less than a revius of water, so you're going to wash on your right hand, let's say for argument's sake, less than a revius of water. You have to have a full revius to start with, but you pour in each hand less than a revius, so your hand is clean, the water is tameh. So the process of netilas yadayim hasn't been completed yet because you have to make the water tor also by pouring a second time. But your hands are clean, so you can say an Asher Yatzar, but it's not a problem with the Asher Yatzar being an interruption between the washing and netilas yadayim because you haven't finished netilas yadayim yet. So you'll wash once on each hand. Now your hands are clean, say Asher Yatzar, then wash a second time in each hand, and now you're ready to say netilas yadayim, dry your, you know, and finish the process, and then say Hamotzi. So that's Mr. Burris of Cotton Gimel. Rutzel Lermer. The Darber Birchas Asher Yatzar, Kadam Shagiyaz Man Birchas Al Netilas Yadayim. The goal over here is to say the Asher Yatzar before you get to the point that you're Mechuyev to say the Bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Because once you're supposed to say Al Netilas Yadayim, the Asher Yatzar is a hefsik between the washing and Al Netilas Yadayim. If you say Al Netilas Yadayim, if you'd wash, say Al Netilas Yadayim, and then Asher Yatzar, it's a hefsik between Al Netilas Yadayim and Hamoitzi. So the goal is to say it before you get to the Chiyuv. So the first scenario, it was simple, because the first washing wasn't a kosher netila. So maybe you're not chayav in netilas yadayim yet. The bracha of netilas yadayim, because you didn't wash yet. So your hands are clean. Say Asher Yatzar. But over here, you're in the process of washing your hands for a kosher netila. But you're not chayav in the bracha of netilas yadayim yet, because you have to pour twice in each hand. And again, this only works if you use less than a revius. Okay? So what do? The hanalachas shavak ra pamachas al yodov bepochas mirvius. So you pour onto the hands less than a revius in each hand. So your hands are clean. So you can now, your hands have been cleansed from the bathroom, and therefore you can say the bracha of al yishayatzar. But you're not supposed to say the bracha of al yishayatzar until you finish, you wash you a second time on each hand, because that's what removes the water which is tameh. So the Asher Yatzar now is not in any way acting as interruption between the final washing and the Al Netilas Yadayim. Now the Shishal Yodav Zubazu, you're going to then rub your hands together. The Dayan Lonigmar and Netila, you haven't finished the Netila yet, so you say Asher Yatzar now. Hakach Shevich Pama Shnia Al Yodav Latara Mayim Arishanim Vazmavarach Al Netilas Yadayim Umanakma. Then you pour in each hand a second time. Removes the first water, you dry your hands, you say Al Netilas Yadayim, and you dry your hands. Now the Mishaburah says, there's a side problem over here about that. He talks about the idea of rubbing your hands together. We said before, if you only wash at each hand one time, with less than a revius, you can't rub your hands together because you have this problem that the water in your hands are tor, but the water is tameh. So why does that water make your hand tameh again? Because that's the Chazal set up the system that your hands were tameh to start with. You pour the water on your hands less than revius, your hands become tor, the water becomes tameh. And then you pour a second time, it's matar of the water, and that's all the process. However, if you move the water from which is tameh in your right hand onto your left hand, or vice versa, that makes the other hand tameh, and you cannot be matar it with the second water.
So
So we said before, you can't do this. So what are you saying? You're going to rub your hands together. So there is one scenario where you could. What's that scenario? We said before, if you hold your both hands, if somebody else pours on your hands, you put your hands together loosely enough that the water can get through to both hands. But since you put them together as one unit, Chazal said that washing, it's all one. It's like one big hand. So there's no problem with the water moving on your hand from the right, from the top to the bottom. There's also no problem in this situation, water moving from the right hand to the left hand, because it's all one unit. We said before that if you pour in both hands at the same time, they count like one hand, and you can rub your hands together. Okay. That's all talking about if you pour it less than revias on each hand, then you must wash twice in each hand. You must wash once to mimatar your hands. But the water comes tame, and then you pour a second time to remove the tumah from the water. But if you use revias on each hand in the first time, the lach is the water doesn't become tame. So really, the whole process of being matar your hands is completed immediately. So then you can't say you say asher yatzar now, because then once you finish the process of matilas yadayim, you're mechuyim in the bracha of matilas yadayim immediately, and you can't say asher yatzar. It's a hefsek. We pour revias on each hand. For us, we finish the process with pouring once in each hand. Our hands are now clean. It's time to say Alatil Sidayim. For us, the Til Sidayim will be considered an interruption. Excuse me, Asher Yatzar will be considered an interruption between the washing and the bracha of Al Nathil Sidayim. You can't say Asher Yatzar now. So he says the right thing to do is therefore the first idea that when you come out of the bathroom, you wash your hands once without a kais in a way which is not kosher for Nathil Sidayim. Your hands are now clean. You can say Asher Yatzar. What?
Or with less than
revias? No. That's this case over here with less than revias. We're not doing what you're saying, but since nowadays we tend to wash with the revias in each hand, which removes many other halachic issues. So we don't want you, if you pour revias in each hand, what you're doing is making your hands totally tore. You don't need a second washing. So now it's ready, it's time for the bracha of Al Nathil Sidayim. So therefore the eighth is to wash the first Nathila in a way which is not kosher for Nathil Sidayim at all. For example, you use less than revias. You don't use a kais. So you don't use a kais. So that's not Atilas Yadayim. So that's not Atilas Yadayim. So you say Asher Yatzar. Your hands are clean. You've removed the dirt from your hands, the zuama from your hands. Your hands are clean. So you can say the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Then you wash with a kais, and that will allow you to say the bracha Atilas Yadayim in the proper time. Okay, Sif Beis. Im rabim mesubim mesuda, you have a large group of people there by a meal. So hagadol noitel yadav tachila. So really, we should give the gadol the right to wash first. That's his kavod. He should wash first. However, v'harosh ayirago litzol b'achrayno shlo lahavzik shlo ladaber, because they would all wash and then they'd wait to say hamotzi. So if the gadol washes first, he's going to be waiting the longest. Like, so he washes and he's waiting for everybody else to wash till he says Amotzi. So therefore the Rosh said he'd rather wait till the end, forget about his COVID, he'd rather wait till the end and wash last, therefore to limit his right as the Gadol was to have the best halachic situation, which is to limit his time lapse from his washing until the Amotzi. Okay. So, but the Mora doesn't say that. The Mora says the Gadol is supposed to wash first. So what's out in the Rosh? Okay. So Mizot Mishabur like this. A Gadol noitel tchila, sif katan dalet. Techein u'kvoida, because it's covered, the Gadol should wash first. So what's out in the Rosh? Sif katan hay. The Rosh ha'yirogel, the Rosh would wash last. The Mora doesn't say that. So it's a nice idea, but the Mora doesn't say that. The Mora says the Gadol should wash first. Sirle. So the Rosh says like this. The shiny bizman of Talmud show you kolekun hamasumin shukun b'fnei atzma. They used to have their own. Each one had their own small table. Each person would have their own bread, and they would make their own hamotzi. So as soon as you wash, you would start eating. So over there, it makes sense that the gadol should wash first, go to his small table, say hamotzi, start eating first. That's covered. I will ask for shulchan echad l'kol. We have one large table for everybody. And we eat together. The hand of the achar should not lo kulam yadayim. Everybody washes their hands. So then the gadol is, since each one that we're eating is one big unit, one big table, so the proper thing to do is everybody washes, and then the gadol says the bracha and is moitzi everybody in the bracha. So then it makes sense. Tov yoreh, this situation, which is not the case of the Gemara, litol b'achrono k'deshal yobeli lehefsek v'dibra bintayim. This way he should wash last, that he shouldn't have to be the, have to have a lapse in time and possibility of needing to and talking in between. Okay. We're going to see Kuf Samavav in a second. Hiskim, the Shulchan Aruch agrees, the Toiv Lizor Mila Hafsik Mila Daber, Ayn Shama Mishnah Berurah, V'chein Nogo Kol Oilam Lila Hakram B'zeh. So first of all, we're going to see that there's a machloikas whether you're allowed to. A person washes his hands, says Al Tilas Yadayim, and now he's waiting to say Amotzi. So the Iker issue over here really is that he has to keep his hands pure till the meal starts. Once you're in the meal, we assume that the person will keep an eye on the hands and do the hands properly. He hasn't started his meal yet, so his hands aren't. So he has to keep his thoughts on keeping his hands tore. So we're afraid if you start schmoozing, next thing you know, you're going to not be washing your hands. Washing your hands. And then you'll have to wash your hands again. So the real issue, there's not a halachic issue of hefsik, but there is a halachic, we don't want a long time lapse, and we don't want you to get involved in a conversation because that will distract you. But Shulchan Aruch said, it's toiv, lizor mele hafsik v'mudaber. It's proper, it's a good idea, not to interrupt for too long or to speak. And then as a minigo harlem, v'filo b'shiyah maru harbe machbiran k'divrei ha'moshom. And the truth is not even, is an issue of speaking, but it's even just waiting for too long is an issue. In kei b'sudas ha'gadar l'shiyesham harbe masubin, by very large meals, where there's many people joining the meal, imyantino kolam masubin achiyito l'gadol, so the gadol will wash last, like the Rosh says, but everybody else is waiting for a very long time. It's not right that you're waiting a long time either. They might start talking. So he says, let's go back to the old system. You know what? Each person should say their own bracha. So the gadol, each person is making his own bracha and not waiting for the gadol, so then the gadol should wash first. Because why should he be the last? Why should he wait? He should go first, wash, and say his own personal hamotzi for himself. He'll make his own hamotzi. So in the case you have a large meal, the Mishnah Berurah really suggests that the proper thing to do is not that one person be motzi everybody else. Rather, each person should say his own bracha. And once that's true, the gadol should have the right to wash first. Okay.
What about a kohen? Doesn't mention,
doesn't
Kohen go first?
We actually give the Kedima to a Gadol, not to the Kohen. And we'll see about that later on. That actually, the Gadol has Kedima for benching also over a Kohen.
Talmud
Chacham, yeah. Okay, the Rosh was knowing to wash last.
So suppose one place is to wash. Do we then worry about the gadol washing first, or does it matter?
If there are multiple places to wash, that's a good question. If there are multiple places to wash, we would still want to give him the covenant of letting him wash first. The person, we don't want to interrupt with a long pause. Shalodaber zayin, hano filo b'sichem wetes. That there it's an issue, even a minimal conversation is improper because we're afraid that it'll come to a longer conversation. Okay, so we're sort of getting a head start onto the next simon. Let's see this. Let's actually see the simon inside. Okay, simon kuf samavav din havsaka ben betzila natzila boisif echad. Okay, so this that here's the issue, this idea of having interruption between the washing and the making of the moitzi. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch presents like this. There's an opinion which says that there's no problem with having an interruption between washing and saying hamotzi. Some say that we are concerned about the interruption. And the Shulchan Aruch says, out of the two opinions, the proper thing to do is to be careful. Okay? How long is it considered an interruption? The time it takes to walk 22 amas.
And then you have to wash again?
No, you should be zor. This is not machayev you to wash again. It's a tomal chachila. You should try and range your situation that you should not have any interruption. Now, chav beis amo, if you figure that a person walks, we assume that a mil is 18 minutes. So a mil is 2,000 amas. So you're walking over. Over 100 amas per minute, because that's right. You're talking about walking 110 amas per minute. So you divide the 22 as 1/5 of that. So it's 12 seconds, right? So it's not a very long interruption that we're not allowing a very long interruption over here. Okay, Zakti Mishabura. So, what are these two opinions? Why is it acceptable to interrupt or not to interrupt? Now, again, there's no halacha of hefzik over here. When a person makes a bracha, birchas in the henin, he says a moitzi. So the halacha is you must immediately eat. You can't interrupt with speech. You can't interrupt even preferably with any type of signaling. You shouldn't interrupt with any type of a time lapse. Because the bracha has to go onto the item. You say a bracha to do a mitzvah, again, there should not be any interruptions. A person says, al natilas lulav, and he should immediately take the lulav, he shouldn't interrupt in any way. The bracha of al natilas adayim is the brachas mitzvahs, that goes back on the wash. Now we have a new issue. You did the mitzvah, the halacha of preparing your hands, and now you're eating the meal. Is there an issue of interrupting between preparing your hands and the meal? So it's not the regular halachas of hefzik. So what is this issue? The issue is the idea of shmiras yadayim. We have to make sure the hands remain pure. So there's an assumption in halacha, once the meal starts and you're actually eating, due to the fact that you're eating, there's a constant underlying current of awareness that you have to keep your hands pure. But when you wash your hands, obviously you're making your hands pure, but over here you're just standing there and waiting. We're afraid that if you get distracted, you're not going to keep your eyes on your hands, and your hands might become in a way which is not roy. They're going to come not Torah anymore, and you're going to have to rewash your hands. So he said, don't make any interruptions. So the question is, what are we worried about exactly? So the first opinion says, Shane Sarkli Zar, Sivkot and Aleph. The Madar Min and Bashas, take it until it's Yadayim Suda, that immediately after you wash your hands, you should start eating the meal. So the more it says, it should be immediate. Right? So why are we saying that it's not a problem? Sir Lehu, they hold that the Pshat and the Gemara is, means you can't get involved in any other thing. You can't get involved in any type of something which would be involved in asik or a maisa, an action, which would cause you to get distracted. So the Gemara was talking about, the more over there, the issue over there, the more we're talking about was, can you interrupt between the washing and the eating with being moizik the kais? The moizik the kais was a specific process that they would add the water to the kais. They would show the exact amount. So you'd be focused on that. And if you're not being focused on that, you're not being focused on keeping an eye on your hands. That's what the Mora was talking about. Obesicha harbe the mevel day hesachadas. A long conversation would be a problem. I feel even if it's going to be about learning, but the point is it's going to be your hands. You're not keeping an eye on your hands. If you're just sitting there, Even though it's a long time lapse, we're assumed, like, you know, you're sitting there waiting for the meal, so you've got to keep an eye on your hands. Oh, I feel a sikha mesiach ma'atz, or if you have a small conversation, ein lachish, it's not a problem according to them. He's sitting at the table, he sees the food, he's not getting involved in a real conversation. Even though he's waiting, he's focusing on the food, so obviously he's going to keep an eye on his hands. So that's the first opinion. The second opinion says no, that's an issue. According to them, even a minimal speech and even a minimal time lapse is a problem. Like the Ramah said, for sure you can't even waiting is a problem, so for sure talking is a problem. Okay, the Chazal said, listen, don't get involved in anything. And therefore even having a conversation about learning is a problem. If you're doing something which is necessary to start the meal, like getting the salt or getting the knife, you know, bringing the bread, anything which would be necessary for the meal, that's not going to constitute an interruption because that's obviously helping you focus on the meal. But if you're getting involved in anything else, right? So I always had this question. The mashal, a lot of times you'll have by the Shabbos Suda. The ladies have set up the fish plates in the kitchen. So they wash their hands and they start bringing out the fish plates to the table.
Is that a hefsek?
So is that a problem over here? So the time lapse we're having anyway, because they're waiting for and Shabbos, we do say one amos of everybody. So they can't control the time lapse of the 22 amos. The issue was you shouldn't get involved in something else. We're saying over here that something which is done for the meal doesn't distract you from your focus of your hands. So, but on the other hand, if they're going to start like cutting up salads and two things, that's like the kais, which the Gemara says it's a problem. Even though you plan to drink it in the meal. But the point is, since it needs a focus, it's considered a problem. That's a problem according to everybody. Say that at the place they're just ready, just bringing them out. It could be, that's called Tzarech HaSuda, that's not a problem. But if they're going to have to start cutting the fish and putting on the plates, that's something else. That would be that they surely should not do between the Tzil Sadayim and the Suda, according to everybody. Even though the one I'm not excited about, but I hear the argument that it's not a problem. But that for sure, if they're doing anything which requires any type of involvement, as opposed to just picking the plates and bringing them out, I think for sure is a problem. The person should not do that. The person should either bring it out before or bring it out afterwards. Okay.
What aren't you excited about?
Saying if they're going to do something which, even just bringing the plates out, it's not so clear to me that that's proper to do. The plate's already, the food's on the plate, it's ready to go, just bringing it out. Even then, I'm not sure it's a good idea. But I can hear why you could argue that's okay. But I'm saying, but if it's more involved than that, for sure it's a problem.
So question, why wouldn't it be preferable to simply have brought the plate out before you even get to washing? Why not? Is it wrong to have the fish plates out when they make Kiddush?
No, it's 100% fine. I'm just saying, in case, for whatever reason, they're behind, they haven't finished bringing everything out. So they want to take care of it then.
So, because I've seen people who did bedafka remove the challahs from the table for kiddush, and I was
no. That's a lachon challahs. It's only an issue with the challahs. Some people don't have the current of the grua. You're not supposed to have the challahs on the table when you say the kiddush.
Why not?
Because there is a the Rashbam in Psachim, in Arbei Psachim, brings I think it's from Yerushalmi. It's Sheiltis. I'm sorry. It's a sefer called the Sheiltis, which is one of the Goyim, that it's proper that the bread should be brought as like the kavod asuda when it's ready to eat it. So that's like that's the proper way to bring the bread to the table when you're ready to use it, and then you immediately say amotzi on it.
So, but having, let's say, if you had, okay, so you bring the bread out after you wash. But there's nothing wrong with having the fish all ready to go.
Yeah, that's not a problem. It's just the bread.
Just the bread.
Right. Gimel, Tavli Zoyer. So the Shulchan Aruch says, between the two opinions, he doesn't pass it that you must. He just said it's proper, it's a good idea to follow the second opinion and be a Zoyer. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here gets off into side issues about some ideas of things that the people should say, etc., in the process of getting ready for the meal. The mitzvah adam, person should daven to continue to be zayecha to have food before he eats He has the meal right now, but Yishazavim that your person should make sure that you're able to, you know, complete this meal and the other meals to come. So now, so you should do that according to the Zohar. You would say a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu before you wash. Let's say you didn't say that tefillah before you washed. Okay, so Yesh Mitzadim Shiachol Omer Tefillah Zu Achrash Anatil. We could argue that you could say it now. You washed your hands. You said Al Tefillah Yudayim before you say Amotzi. You would say that tefillah. The Lechosh of Hefsik. It's not an interruption. The Havi Ktsas Ktsar Chasuda, because it's partially it's preparation for the meal. Some people say that their standard procedure is always to say the capital of Hashem Roy Lo Yachzor, wash, say Al Tefillah Yudayim, then say Hashem Roy, and then say Amotzi. But even though some people do that, the Shlo says really you should say it afterwards, after Amoitzi. So it either means either you say it before you wash or after Amoitzi. Okay, now it says that the Ramah says that even a pause, so when is the pause, when does the clock start? So the clock starts after you finish drying. So you don't want from the time you finish drying your hands, so you say amoitzi, you don't want a time lapse of more than the chavkila, more than 12 seconds. 12 seconds? 12 seconds.
Why 12 seconds?
Because the Gemara says that the shear is chav pei zama, which is the time it takes to walk 22 amas, which is, could be it's somewhere around that length of time.
22 amas would be roughly 44 feet.
Now,
could be it's even longer.
You know, could be it's even shorter. It depends. If you learn a meal, I'm saying, assuming that you learn the time it takes to walk a meal is 2,000 amas. There's three opinions in halacha how long it takes to walk a meal. The standard opinion is 18 minutes, and that's why we say 4 mil is 72 minutes. That's your 72 minutes from Motzei Shabbos from, etc. Your matzahs are 18 minutes because the Mor says it's the time it takes to walk a meal. So we assume that the mill is 18 minutes. There are two other opinions how long the mill is, 22 and a half minutes and 24 minutes. So according to them, obviously, each amma takes a little bit longer. Okay. So why can they hear the chaf beis amma? Even if you're not going anywhere, just sitting, but waiting that amount of time, the Gemara talks about it. The calculation is the Gemara says that we want. The Gemara says there's three things that are takef that they're supposed to be immediate. One of them is takef until Yadayim Suda. One of them is takef the smicha shchita. When they bring a korban, part of the process, the person would put his hands on the animal's head and say vidui. That's called smicha, and then they would do shchita
immediately.
And the Gemara says it should be immediate. The Gemara says to allow this to be immediate, you should do the smicha within the chafei zama of the place that you're going to be doing the shechita. So therefore there shouldn't be a time lapse of more than that time, the distance that you have to walk to do the shechita. So the more calculates that distance is 22 amas. So that's how we see the more definition of take if immediate. And the more is saying that the same idea by take if lasuda natila lasuda, right? It's the same idea of take if. It's the same take if according to this opinion. So that's going to be 22 amas. Now, this is talking about sitting still. Now, what about actually walking? Well, we're going to have another problem. That's another problem, because if you're going to be going from one place to an actual another place, within the same room, it's not a problem. Under the same roof in the same house, not a problem. But you're going to be walking, washing in one place and then walking out to another place. A common issue, let's say you have a sukkah, out on your
back porch.
The back porch or on your driveway or something like that. So
you're washing inside.
You wash inside, then you step out under the open air. You don't walk directly into the sukkah. And then you walk into the, then you go into the sukkah. It's like going from building to building. So some say this is a problem, even though it's halicha mu'etes, but so if you go directly from the house into the sukkah, it's like another room already. Your sukkah covers your whole back porch, and you wash in your kitchen, and you step out from your kitchen into the sukkah. Fine. Right? But if you're going to have to step out into the open air and then into the sukkah, it's like two different houses. So So it's definitely something which we were telling, we're saying that you should be makran lechatchila. A common issue also you have by, let's say, sometimes by chasnas, you know, the place where you wash and the place where you say hamotzi, because sometimes like an outside place and you go back into the room and it's a long walk. So Rav Scheinberg suggests that the solution over there is the hafzik starts when you finish drying your hands. So
don't dry your hands until you get to where you're going.
Don't dry your hands as you're going along. You know, take the paper towels with you and slowly dry your hands as you're moving along, so you would not have a hafzik. But if there's no reason to wait, you shouldn't wait. You should immediately say the bracha. Okay, mikri hafzik. Well, mikri take. If the point is not considered, this is not. If you have this pause of 22 amos, it's not considered immediate. Okay, the fima asher posuk amachar b'toyv lizar liskev natila lesuda. Yes, she's lizar melishas bein time shirzeh. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying it's proper to do that, and therefore we would really prefer that you would make sure not to have that pause. Now, with that, ikir din tkifa mavuska b'simen zeh hurak l'mitzah l'chadchila. So like Dr. Katz was asking before, it's not ma'akev b'di'evet. It's just a din l'chadchila, it's proper, it's a mitzah l'chadchila not to have this pause. Al b'di'evet, fila shah harbe, ahivzeh bein time, ein sarach l'atzo l'intel yodav, kol shisiyah daita bein time, ishmeres yodav. So it's a mistake people think if they spoke. Yeah, correct. So a common mistake, people think, the person washes, says al tisadayim, they go to the meal and they say something by mistake. So they, oh, I have to wash again. No, you don't. You don't have to wash again. As long as you didn't get involved in a conversation which would that cause you to get distracted and get involved, and forget about keeping an eye on your hands, sichem muetis is not considered a hefzik b'di'evet. This is all the chadchila. But as long as you not actually get distracted, you know, you start talking to the guy next to you about politics, you yell at Trump, Clinton, you know, next thing you know, well, Shemir Sidayim, who cares about Shemir Sidayim? Like, you know, right? Fine. But the guy says, you know, and he says, you know, what, you know, he says, you know, it's nice out, you know, that's not a hefzik, you don't have to wash again, you don't have to wash again. Rashi, you don't have to make a bracha again, it would be bracha l'batol if you'd make a bracha again. There's no chiyuv until in that situation. So that's a mistake that people make. If a person would get involved in a, say they do quote a chazanish, the chazanish suggests that you should wash again, because we don't know exactly how much we define as considered a hefzik, but definitely you would not make a bracha, because it's not clear that really you're mechuyav to do that. So there's a kisa shulchan aruch which says that you wash again, but. Fine. I just want to point out one thing. There's a fascinating tzlach. So the tzlach in his drushes, he says, you know, sometimes people do things which are backwards. Like we find people being careful of things which are not really an issue. People are not being careful of things which are an issue. So one of his examples is this halacha. He says, you know, we know the halacha is that every mitzvah, when you make a bracha, there can't be any interruption between the bracha and the mitzvah. So again, the person says the bracha about l'haniach tefillin, You must immediately put on the tefillin. You can't talk then. You can't answer Heshu Rabba. You can't do anything between the bracha and the mitzvah. Right? That's the locha. That the bracha has to go directly on the mitzvah. So came along Chazal by the Tilsa Diamond and said, interesting locha. You know what? So we can't have you make the bracha first and then wash, because your hands, we're washing your hands because we're assuming they're not clean. So sort of like, it's an insult to the bracha to wash, say the bracha when your hands are not clean and then wash it afterwards. So Chazal said, you know what? Wash first and make the bracha afterwards. But the halacha of hefzik is still true. You cannot interrupt between the mitzvah and the bracha. So from the point that you're doing the mitzvah, you should not be interrupting between that and the bracha. So you cannot talk while you're washing your hands, especially after you finish washing your hands. You cannot talk. You know, a lot of people think, you know, I wash my hands and I say hello to the guy next to me, you know, how are you? And then I say, I'm tzedayim. So that sucks. So that's, it's meikir, then that's usur, because it's interruption between the bracha and the mitzvah. Over here, it's back. We do it the opposite as we usually do. We do the bracha second. But the rule of bracha and mitzvah being connected with no interruption, there's no difference if it's before or afterwards. It cannot be an interruption. Then the guy walks to a seat. And meikir, then you're allowed to talk over there. That nobody has so much talk during then. That's like, ooh, talking between the Al-Tis Adayim and the Hamoitzi, nobody talks. So between the washing Al-Tis Adayim with the halachas, you may not talk, people talk. Between Al-Tis Adayim and Hamoitzi, you may talk, people don't talk. So that's strange. That was, so it's one of the examples he gives, like when people have the halachas backwards, like what's a halachically required, they don't do, and what's not required, they do. Right? You know, see, this is an example that he gives. Okay, let's start. Let's at least get us into some of the lochas of Hamoitzi. We'll see the first sip. We're not going to have time to do the Mishaburas. So let's see the first sip at least.
So you want to take the first bite? Is that what you're trying to say?
Actually, the first break. Okay, but say b'pas b'malkam shenefa heitev. So the first thing you need to do is that the cover of the bracha is that it's the bracha, and then that you should make the bracha on the nicest part of the food, and then that's what you're going to eat. So, what's the nicest part of the food? Where it's baked the best is considered an halacha, the nicest part of the food. So, you want to look when you're looking to make to make your mark where you should make the bracha on and the cut from and take from. It should be the place which is baked the best. Now, the Gemara has a machloikis. Where that is that the way they used to bake their bread. They used to break their bread against the wall of the oven. So the Moraz HaMachloik is, so what bakes better? Is it the part which is facing the inside of the oven, which means it's facing the coals, so that's right next to the fire, or it's the part which is against the hot wall of the oven, so that's going to bake better because it's right against the hot wall of the oven. So
that's it's going to be quote-unquote crispy, I guess you might say.
That's right. But it says nowadays, the way we bake, actually the suggestion is the following. So, we sort of like try and make a peshora. We'll get something from the top and the bottom. You should cut from the side of the bread and actually eat a piece from the side, which has from the top and from the bottom. So what I do is like I'll cut it off, cut off the piece, and then I squeeze off a bite, a piece, which is from the top and the bottom. I squeeze it off and I eat it. That's the first bite. So that's what you want to do. You eat something which includes from the top and from the bottom.
Why the top and bottom? What makes it?
Because it, in some ways it bakes better on the bottom. In some ways it bakes better on the top. The top is open. The bottom is sitting in the hot container. So you have both elements. So you sort of get both. Now, v'yatu prusas ha-betziya. Then you cut off the piece of the betziya. Now, so the. So when we're saying like this, we want that as soon as you make the brach, you should eat. So you start cutting up the whole challah. It's a ganza asik. So on Shabbos, we're worried about lecha mishnah, that it should be mamash hasholeh. On the weekdays, we're not so much, it's preferable to say it on hasholeh, so we like it to keep it hasholeh. But on the other hand, we're not worried about, it's not lecha, it's not required that you must have it. So the suggestion is to cut into the bread itself part way, instead of not just making a mark, but I'm actually going to cut into the bread. But how much should I cut? I should cut to the point that it's still considered a sholem. So how much is that? You should cut a little bit. When we say like this, if you know, when you cut a piece, there's the larger loaf and there's a smaller piece
that you're cutting.
So if you cut part way into that, if I would hold the smaller piece, will the rest of the loaf still be connected? If I pull out, if I lift up by the smaller piece, will the rest of the loaf rip off? That's not a shalom anymore. If I hold it by the smaller piece, I cut it in a little bit, and I hold it by the smaller piece, the rest of the loaf will stay attached. It's still called a shalom. Because if you cut it so much that it'll rip apart, it's already considered like it's already pulled off, and you're not making bracha on the shalom of the whole loaf. That you leave it attached, you make the bracha, then once you finish the bracha, you take off the rest of that piece. Therefore, the bracha is completed when the bread is still a shale. But you've limited the interruption between the end of Hamoitzi and the actual eating because it's cut already somewhat, so it's much quicker to finish off the cut. Don't cut off a small piece because it looks like you're a cheapskate. Cutting a piece which is larger than a kebeya looks like you're a glutton. Okay. However, so you're trying to get a piece somewhere in the middle. Okay, now how big is a kebaya? So we spoke about that a kebaya is, if you take if you picture a 2-pound loaf of rye bread from the bakery, a sliced rye, and you pull out a slice from the middle of the loaf, that's the size of a kebaya. So you, when you cut off your piece, you don't want to cut a piece, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, larger than that for yourself. Shabbos, since Kadesh Kukura Shlemus, you want it to be Lecha Mishnah, that's required. It's not just a Mila, but it's required. So we don't want you to cut into the bread at all. But if you did cut, like we do on the weekdays, which is partially, to the extent that it's still considered halakhically attached, it's also not a problem. This halacha that the piece you cut off should be small, not more than a kebaya, that's on weekdays, and you're eating by yourself. Alva b'Shabbos. Shabbos, you can take a larger piece. Or shocholim harbi b'nei odom, or there's a lot of people there. But tzarech lead them in a prusa l'chol echad kezayis. Your goal is the piece that you cut off is what you should give to each person to eat from. Mutalib tzarech kifimach tzarech loy, then you will cut off a piece as large as necessary to give to all the people sitting there. Okay, let's hold it here.